you have your Bibles this morning, you please make your way over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to begin this morning, and we're going to continue our series today on faith. The title of our series is Faith for the Journey. We've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11, examining the different examples that the Bible gives us concerning faith. And this morning we come to a point in this chapter where the names, the details are no longer given as far as the details in this passage. We're just given a few names. And this morning we're not going to fill in the blanks, we'll allow the scriptures to do that. And we're going to look at the details of one of these individuals. Hebrews chapter 11, notice in verse 32, he says there, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel," he says there, "and of the prophets." This morning, we're going to begin to look at this verse right here. You know, up until this point here in Hebrews chapter 11, we have had a steady stream of men and women of faith and been given examples of how they loved God, they lived for God, they put their faith in God. And then here, the writer here in verse 32 begins this verse by saying, "And what shall I more say?" I believe he had already provided enough, evidence to show the importance of living by faith. But if he wanted to, he could have went on and continued to give them, more examples. And notice what he says there. He says, "For the time would fail me to tell of," and then he gives us a list. He was writing a letter and he ran out of time. This morning I'm preaching a message, and I think unless the Lord returns, I have time to focus on each one of these. So we will focus on each one of these individuals over the next few weeks. Today we'll begin by looking at Gideon. Now you'll notice this morning of these men, there's six of them mentioned here, they were all rulers or leaders of Israel. And as we'll see, they were all successful over the enemy. They were all given great obstacles to overcome. And by faith, that's what these men had in common. By faith, they had great victories. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I pray that as we look at Gideon this morning, that you'll open up your word to us. Help us so we can see the faith that he had and the importance of living by faith. And over the next few weeks, as we look at these other examples, I pray that you'll encourage us as we face our trials, our difficulties, in our life, that we'll live by faith. We ask that you bless us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we get into this passage here, primarily we're going to be looking at Judges chapters 6 and 7. But here, I'm going to give you a few thoughts on this verse before we get into our lesson on Gideon. Like I mentioned, these were all rulers and leaders of Israel. Five of them were judges. One was a king, and that was David. Now, the nation was led by judges until they desired a king. They wanted a king. And so God said, "You want a king, I'll give you a king." And he allowed them to have King Saul. And then, of course, we know David served as king. And then Solomon served as king of Israel. Well, after Solomon's reign, the Bible tells us that the two nations were split. The nation was split into two. They were divided into the northern and the southern kingdom. And it remained this way until they were both, or pretty much all, taken into captivity. The northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and then the Babylonians came and took the southern kingdom captive. You know what I think is interesting? Out of the six examples given to us, five of them were judges and one was a king. Apparently, the Lord noticed more faith when the judges led and ruled than he did when the kings led and ruled. When you read the lives of the kings, I'm not saying none of them had faith, because we'll mention some later, but a lot of them were wicked. A lot of them were selfish. A lot of them got that power and they wanted to please themselves when they received the title of king. Now this morning, we're going to examine the faith of Gideon. He's the first one. So we're going to look at Gideon this morning. And you know what I hope you see? I hope I can show you from the scriptures as we examine just quickly and look at a few things from Judges 6 and 7. I hope you'll notice that his faith was found in humility. That's the title of our message this morning, Faith Found in Humility. Well, what is humility? Basically, the definition of humility is a modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance or rank etc. It goes on and on and on. You know what humility is? Humility is rare, is what it is. It's becoming even rarer in our society. Most people today are self-centered. Everything's about me, me, me. Everyone should pay attention to what I'm doing. I need the attention. You know, as believers, as we'll see this morning, faith is found in humility, humbling ourselves before God. Now we're going to look, if you want to go with me over to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Basically, Judges 6 and Judges chapter 7 is where we find the account of Gideon. Now, because of time's sake this morning, I'm not going to read the entire chapter of Judges 6 or Judges 7. What I'll be doing is reading some portions. I'm not going to take anything out of context. I'll read them as they come, but I'm going to read some portions. And I want to give you three thoughts concerning Gideon's faith. Three thoughts concerning his faith. The first one I want to present to you this morning is that his faith occurred in a humble circumstance, or a humbled circumstance. And then we find that right at the beginning of Judges chapter 6. Verse 1 says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them," he says, "made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them." And I'm going to stop there this morning. And what I want you to notice, or what I want to draw to your attention, first off, is the fact the nation of Israel was humbled due to their sin and their rebellion. Let's notice that. That's why we find this coming upon them. Verse 1, it says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, the Lord is still paying attention to how people act, to how people talk, to how people live. He's still paying attention to how nations act, how nations conduct their business, how nations look upon him. You see, the Lord is still paying attention. And during the time of Gideon, apparently the Israelites sinned and they rebelled and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, by the time Gideon comes upon the scene, three judges had already been given to the people of Israel. And those judges were faithful. They led the people out of sin to follow after God. And you know what happened? Another generation would come up and sin and rebel against God, and they'd go back into sin. You do realize it takes just one generation to turn from God. That's it. It doesn't take a long, drawn-out process for a nation to go away from God. It just takes one generation, one group of people to say, we don't want to serve God. We don't want to honor God. We want to please ourselves and live for ourselves. It also takes a generation for a church to fall, too. You'll find that as well. You'll have churches that will grow, and the next thing you know, a new leadership will come in, and the church will go the way of the world, and it'll be gone. That's what happened in Israel. They began to do evil, and they continuously fell into sin and followed after their selfish desires. Now, this also included idolatry. We'll talk about this in a minute. They worshipped other gods. They neglected the God, the one and only God, the true God of heaven and earth. They neglected him, and they followed after other gods. Now, idolatry is a great offense against Almighty God, a great offense. God is jealous of our worship and our praise, and we should worship and serve only him. Now, the nation was humbled through this oppression. The Bible tells us there that the Midianites were allowed to conquer them and rule them. Now, this is something we need to understand, that God may allow hardship into our life because of our decisions. He may allow a difficulty arise because we have went away from him. Now, that's not to scare us, but that's for us to understand that God will chastise those that belong to him. How many of your parents? I think a good parent will discipline their children. You give me a parent who does not discipline their children, I don't know if I question their motives, but I definitely question how much they may care for their child, how concerned they are with the welfare and the future of their child if they won't provide some discipline. You see, God will discipline those that belong to him. Israel was his nation. They sinned against him. The discipline was coming because of their actions. So the people, the Bible tells us that the people fled from this oppression. You know what it tells us? It tells us they lived in caves and dens. I tell you what, reading this passage, I began to count my blessings. You know, times aren't so bad. You know, I know we've had our economies kind of struggle a little bit, but I tell you, we're not resorting to going to the caves and the dens yet, so praise God for that. Here they were going to the caves and the dens, and they couldn't really sustain themselves because they were impoverished because of the Midianites and the oppression that had come down upon them. Also, they were spiritually depraved. Here in a minute we'll see But they worshiped this false god, Baal. Baal was a false god. There's only one God in heaven. That's Jehovah, the Lord of the Bible. That's it. All the other gods are false. They're imposters. They're from the devil and they're of the devil. And they're going to fall someday before God, because God is the one and only God. But they were worshiping Baal. And you know what happened in their nation? It got to the point that if they would oppose Baal and they would refuse to worship, or they would go against serving Baal, you know what happened? It was punishable by death. Look over, we're in Judges chapter 6. Notice what took place in verse 28. Go down to verse 28. Notice what happened here. It says, "And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. The grove was cut down that was by it. The second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? When they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." Now that's spiritual depravity right there. The nation had fallen so low. They had gotten to the point where if one refused or attacked the worship of Baal, then they were worthy of death. And apparently it was something they took serious. It wasn't just words. They were willing to put, or were going, or decided to put Gideon to death because of this action. Now let's be aware of this wicked principle. The world acts this way today. Let's not fool ourselves. Nothing's changed. The devil's not someone to be bargained with. The devil wants complete control. He wants to dominate the world. He wants to dominate everything and get a hold of. You know, what often begins as tolerance quickly turns into complete and utter control. We're seeing that today with many sins. Many sins that the world says, well, you need to be tolerant of this sin. You don't need to speak against this sin. It's all right. It's good for our society. Everything from pro-choice, which is abortion, murder, to sodomy. People are saying, that's okay. Well, the Bible doesn't say so. I'm not going to take the time this morning to find the scriptures, but they're there and it's clear. And what often begins as, well, you need to be tolerant, turns into, you better accept this. Here it is. We're going to force it down you. What happened to tolerance? You do realize today that people, especially public figures, are in danger of just speaking out against those two sins that I mentioned. Now, there's others besides those two sins that are being forced. You do realize public figures today, if they speak out against either one of those sins, are basically being threatened with their jobs and their positions. That's happened. You read that in the papers. That's taking place in our nation today. That's not tolerant. Well, I'll tell you what, sin is not tolerant. The devil's not tolerant. That's just a facade that he puts up to get his way and to get people to compromise. You know, the common phrase found in the book of Judges is this: every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I believe that probably could be our motto today in 2013, the United States of America. Everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. If it pleases them, then do it. If it sounds good, then do it. You know, this morning, we're going to notice that great acts of faith are often found in darkest times. This morning, don't be discouraged. It's easy to watch the news and to get discouraged. It's easy to read the paper and get discouraged. Don't be discouraged, because great acts of faith often show themselves when the time is the darkest. Even in the book of Judges, in a time of lawlessness, characterized by selfish ambition, there were those that lived by faith. There were those that loved God. There were those who continued to serve the Lord. You know, faith is not dependent upon the world. This morning, faith is not dependent upon the condition of this world. True faith does not need to be entertained. True faith does not need to have everything else going correct or everything else to be well. True faith does not need to have a majority on its side. If you love God and you live by faith, you're going to serve God no matter what the circumstance. You're going to be faithful to God because you love God and you have faith in the Lord. Now, faith is between an individual and God. It begins with saving faith, putting your faith in the Lord, trusting Him as your Savior. Then it continues with faith for power, for strength, and to do the work that God has for you. You know, this morning, I believe we too, now it may not be to the extent of Gideon's, but we too live in a time of spiritual decline. We do. God's word is being rejected for false teachings. God's word is being set aside for new methods and new plans and new organizations. God's ways are being ignored. It's even getting to the point where God's ways are being attacked. Let's just get rid of it. I want to encourage you this morning, look to God. He never changes. You can trust in Him. Put your faith in God. Faith here was found in a humbled generation. A generation that had declined and had fallen. But there was a man of faith, as we'll see, who loved God. Now let's get into that. Verses 11 of Judges chapter 6. Here's my second thought. Let's look at the humble character. We looked at the humbled circumstance. And I want you to notice the humble character. Judges chapter 6. And it begins in verse 11. It says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." So we have here the angel of the Lord. Now, it's a good thing it was the angel of the Lord, because Gideon was hiding, is what he was doing. He couldn't hide from God. That's what he was doing. He was out there threshing wheat, the Bible says, by the winepress. He was hiding down by the winepress so he would not be caught, is what he was doing. You see, threshing wheat was usually done in the open air. So the wind would carry away the chaff. They would take that wheat and they'd throw it up, and they'd continue to do so and clear it out, and the wind would take it away. Ideally, they would do it up on a ridge or a hill where it was nice and open. Out of fear, the Bible tells us that Gideon threshed by the wine press. You know what this did? This made this task a lot more difficult. Here he is throwing up this wheat, trying to thresh it, and there's no air going through. And I imagine he was getting some work done, but I guarantee you, he worked harder, it took longer, and he was working under duress, because he didn't want to be caught doing this. The Midianites did not allow it. We find that here in this passage. And here he is hiding it from the Midianites. Now, when you think of this, we often wonder why God uses men like this. Now, Gideon, I tell you what, he wasn't out there boldly running, courageously standing, and willing to serve God. He's afraid because of the oppression. You know what we find in the Scriptures? God's men and women are normal people just like us. They are. They have emotions like us. They had fears like us. They had problems like we do. It was God that made the difference. It was the power of God in their life that changed their life, gave them the courage and the strength to live by faith. This morning, I want to encourage you. There may be someone here that is facing an uphill battle. Maybe in your personal life. Maybe in your career. Maybe there is something there that has come into your life that is an obstacle. And it has caused you to fear or to worry or to have concern. And like Gideon, if you could, you just go hide yourself. You just get away from everything and just get away and hide. This morning, have faith. Trust in God. He's got a plan for your life, as we'll see here in a minute. He had a plan for Gideon. And he was going to work in Gideon's life. Now let's notice that was a humble task. Now let's notice the humble heart here of Gideon. It says there, verse 12, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him, said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Here the angel speaks to Gideon. He says, "The Lord's with you, mighty man of valor." Now, Gideon may have looked around. Is he talking to me? Here he is hiding from the Midianites because he won't be caught. And the angel said, "You're a mighty man of valor." And then in verse 13, he says, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Verse 15, and he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." I'm going to stop there, and I want you to notice his humble heart. And we'll also talk about his humble reaction. His humble heart. The Bible says he was given a special call. He didn't earn this call. He did nothing to merit being given this position. It was an act of grace by God. God chose him for this. And God was going to prepare him and bless him. Like I said, the angel of the Lord addressed him as a mighty man. That was to come. He wasn't a mighty man yet, but God had a plan for his life. Now, he would not have been our choice. I don't know about you. If I had to go pick a man out of Israel to lead against the oppressors, I probably wouldn't have picked a man hiding behind the winepress out of fear. I probably looked for someone who was standing out boldly, saying, "We need to get rid of these oppressors," and making a stand. You see, Gideon came from a lowly tribe and a lowly family. and from common employment. But the Lord had a plan for Gideon. And the Lord had something that he wanted Gideon to accomplish. He wanted to work in his life and not only produce a blessing for him, but a blessing for the nation. This morning, I'm going to tell you this. If you're saved, you have something to do. You do. I don't know God's plan for your life, but God has a plan for you. He has saved you. He didn't save you so he just set you aside and ignore you and forget you. He saved you. And he's going to work in your life. He's going to bless you. Now, maybe something in your family, maybe in your career, maybe within your church, a ministry of some sort. But God has something for you. Be faithful. Be willing to go and to serve the Lord. Now, we all do not have the same thing to do, but I believe all of us have something to do. And there may be someone here this morning say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I can do. Well, you can begin by praying. We can all pray. We can all seek the Lord. And secondly, you can make yourself available. Say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want, I'm willing and I'm ready. Gideon had something to do, and I believe you do as well. Be faithful to God. Now, Gideon was given God's work to perform. See, he was called to lead the nation of Israel out of the oppression from the Midianites. That was his call. And he was given a promise from God that he would be successful, that God would bless him. He just needed to go. You know, Gideon had something to hold on to. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what Romans tells us in Romans 10. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Gideon was given God's word. He had something to hold on to. That's what faith is. You know, many believe that Christians just have a blind, foolish faith. That's not true. Christians are trusting in God's word. We're taking him at his word, and we're believing him. You know, I'm going to give you three promises this morning that you can hold on to. How about the promise of salvation? We find Romans chapter 10. Actually, I want to turn there. Let's turn to Romans 10. Let's read this passage so you can see it this morning. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to begin in verse 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It says there that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And notice what it says in 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there's some promises given in that passage. And that's not the only passage. Throughout the New Testament, we find many promises given concerning salvation. But I'll tell you this morning, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning and you've made that decision, you've repented of your sin, trusted in Christ as your Savior, you're saved. Not because you have done something great, not because you are worthy, but because you humbled yourself before God and you trusted in Him as your Savior. You're saved. Now, if that's not the case this morning, I want to challenge you to consider that. To consider your situation. Because as we see here, as it says there, verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. No difference between the Jew and the Greek. Salvation this morning is open to anybody. It is. I do believe that Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I do believe that Jesus Christ died, and I believe His death and His atonement is sufficient for anybody. Now, obviously, not all will trust in Christ as their Savior, but anyone who does will be saved. This morning, I just want to challenge you to examine your heart. Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith in Him? Not in church, not in membership, not in being good, but in Jesus Christ. If you haven't, get that taken care of. Trust in Christ as your Savior. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, that's a promise of salvation. You know, we also find Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. I'm not going to turn there because of time's sake this morning, but this is a commission to the church and to believers to take the gospel out. After we're saved, we're to be witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth of God's saving grace. Someone here may say, well, Pastor, I've never been to Bible school. I'm just newly saved. Well, just tell someone what God did for you. See, that's what a witness is. Telling someone how God saved your soul, forgave you of your sin. You see, that's what Paul often did in the scriptures. That's what he did. He shared his testimony with others. And so we're to be witnesses. And you know, also, there's another great promise. Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that God will work out all things according to good, according to His will. this morning, that's a promise that some often hold on to during difficult times. That God has a plan and He will work out all things for good according to His will. I think it was R.A. Torrey the evangelist. I mentioned this before, but I think it's good to mention it again. Now, he was the one who often said, he trusted the Lord, or attempted to trust the Lord in all things, and he would quote that verse, all things. And when something would come up that was just, a trial or a difficulty of some kind, he would often look at someone next to him and say, that's one of those all things. And he just trusts in the Lord. There are a lot of things in our life that comes up that's just one of those all things. Maybe you get a flat tire, maybe your car breaks down, maybe you got a health issue. That's one of those all things. You just put your faith in God, trusting He'll work things out for good in your life. So we see, those are just three promises. There are many more promises. Read the Bible, find the promises, and hold on to those. Next, notice the humble reaction. We've already read the passage, but notice the humble reaction of Gideon. He was called mighty. I think he was taken back a little bit because God called him mighty. I'm sure it surprised him because he understood reality. You see, Gideon knew he was without power. Gideon knew he wasn't bold. Gideon knew he was hiding. And I think the Lord called him while he was hiding just to so he can understand his humble situation. Gideon knew he was hiding. He was without power to perform God's task. You know what he did? He understood the reality of the situation. And that's important. Because he understood the reality, he made a correct decision. I'm going to give you just one illustration on this. I was reading about George Washington, our first president of the United States. At a young age, was offered the command of 300 men. Now, he's in the British Army at this time. He wasn't in the Continental Army. He was in the British Army. Offered the command of 300. I'm sure a lot would have jumped at this. History tells us, here's his quote. He says, "I must be impartial enough to confess it is a charge too great for my youth and inexperience." Instead, he took a second in command and he learned a great deal. That's humility. Understanding reality. Understanding limitations and your situation. Today, many are being taught opposite. Many are saying, well, just go for it. Now, I don't want to destroy dreams, but we need to understand some of the limitations. And so we can be humbled instead of just charging, thinking that we can do anything and that we don't need God's help or God's strength. Gideon knew he was without power. Gideon knew that he was insufficient for this calling. Bible tells us he emptied himself of self-sufficiency. First, now don't miss this morning. This is important. Gideon believed he was unworthy to be used by God. He said, I come from a lowly house, a lowly family, a lowly tribe. And even though he didn't say it, I'm sure inside his heart he's thinking, I'm sitting back here hiding. I'm not worthy to go out and do this work. I'm not worthy to be called. This action of Gideon is opposite of what many of our modern churches are teaching today. It is. In our modern Christianity, Gideon, you know what he'd be? He'd be a prime candidate for Christian counseling. And they say, Gideon, you just need to get down there to the counselor. You need some motivation, some encouragement. It's becoming common today to exalt self, to motivate self, to the point of believing that we're capable of achieving great spiritual achievements. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's impossible. We cannot achieve great spiritual achievements. That's the same deception that the devil offered Eve in the garden. You can be a god. You can do this. That's a deception. If we examine our hearts, you know what we find? Sinners. I don't say that to you to discourage you. I fall in that same category. We are all sinners before God. We've made mistakes. We have wanted our own way. We've been selfish. We've been proud. You know what Gideon did? He did opposite of what many are encouraging today. You know what he did? He humbled himself, emptied himself before God and said, God, I am unworthy. This morning, that's what we need to do before God if we're going to live by faith. We need to say, God, I need your help. I cannot do this alone. I was reading, this is a little list I found. It's from an anonymous person. I don't know who wrote this, but I thought it was good. It's called Voices in Our World Today. And here's the voices. The appetite says this, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Education says be resourceful, expand yourself. Materialism says be satisfied, please yourself. Psychology says be confident, fulfill yourself. Pride says be superior and promote yourself. Humanism says be capable, believe in yourself. God in His Word says be wise and humble yourself. This morning, that's what we should follow. That's the pattern we find in the Scriptures. Not just with Gideon, we're going to see this over the next few weeks. humility before God, seeking His help, seeking His assistance. You know what the Bible tells us? The Lord was pleased with this answer. He didn't run Gideon down, and He didn't say, "Gideon, this is a terrible answer." He was pleased with Gideon's humble attitude, basically because the Lord knew He was going to perform the work. He was looking for a man who was willing to let Him work through him so He could perform a work in the land of Israel. You know, Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." And then another proverb is 22 verse 4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor." This morning, if you want to serve God, you need to humble yourself before Him. Recognize your inabilities. Recognize your need and seek His help. You know, the Lord would provide Gideon power. You know, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." We can't eliminate that "in Christ" part. That's there. Yes, we can do all things, but it's in Christ, in the power, or His power through us working in our life. You know, God is able to choose someone and make them fit for service. This morning, if you're saved, He's given you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will provide the fruit in your life and will bless you. Yes, Gideon struggled. I'm not going to read the entire passage. Those of you that are familiar with this know he struggled with faith. He asked for some signs. I believe he struggled. Some don't, but I believe he struggled. He asked for some signs to verify God's direction and that God would bless. You know, I think he was slow to act, and yes, he hesitated in his commitment to God, but he was blessed. Eventually, he did go. Now, let's not make a mistake and emulate his example. I've read books that people have written using the example of Gideon and how we're put out all these fleeces and look for signs. Be careful of that. If God has given us some direction, He doesn't want us to go looking for signs. He wants us to follow that direction. You know, my parents used to give me direction. They weren't expecting me to say, "Well, I need a sign." They were expecting me to obey. If I didn't obey, that's when the sign came. Obedience was expected first. God has given us direction in His Word. We have it right here. Read it and study it, and then apply it to your life and follow the Lord's direction. Yes, he struggled with faith, but his faith eventually his faith overcame his doubts. And that's the lesson for us this morning right here. You see, he was humble, struggled with faith, but his faith overcame his doubts and allowed him to boldly go into battle and overcome the enemy. You see, God blessed even though Gideon doubted. This morning, if God would only bless those that were perfect, there would be no blessings from heaven. We all struggle with doubts. We all are slow to act at times. Let this be an encouragement to us as we live by faith. It's not always going to be easy to live by faith, and at times you may struggle, but continue to trust in God. Put your faith in the Lord. God will bless. God will not forsake you. God will bless you and provide the strength. You know, faith here was found in a humble man. You couldn't find a more humble man in Israel. This was it, a humble man. Let's be humble and allow God to work through us. The last thought I'll give to you, and it's just found in Judges chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, "Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early, pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah," he says, "there in the valley." What we find here, and I'm going to read a few more verses here in a few minutes, but in chapter 7, we find humble conduct. Basically, Gideon committed himself to God by faith, was willing to go into this battle by faith, and allow God to bless. Now, as a humble arrangement, what I mean by that is Gideon gathered his forces. He was ready to do battle. I imagine he may have been excited at this point, man. He was ready. He'd worked up some courage. He'd put his faith in God. And then God stopped him. Have you ever had that before where you're just going, things going fine, then something stops you, slows you down? That's what happened to Gideon. God stopped him and God said, "No, not yet. I got to go through your forces a little bit. You have too many men." Now imagine Gideon saying, now Gideon had 32,000 men. The enemy had over 135,000. Gideon may have thought, "Too many? I was hoping you'd give me more, Lord," may have been his thought. That would have been my thought. Gideon, the Bible says, the Lord said, "You have too many men. We need to pare it down a little bit." Now, I don't know what Gideon's thought was, but I imagine he may have thought, "Okay, the Lord's going to go through. He's going to find a handful, maybe a few hundred that are not worthy, that should not be here. Either they're not skilled, they're not prepared, and we'll send those men home." Well, when the Lord was finished, notice in Judges chapter 7, notice in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped," that's correct, 300 men, he says, "that lapped will I save you. and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. You realize when God was done going through his forces, it went from 32,000 to 300. Have you ever seen someone? I've seen people at our fellowship dinners. You know, there's someone has made a pie or a cake, and there's a piece out, and someone will go get a piece, and they'll pretend. They'll say, this is your piece, the rest is mine, and they'll take the big piece or the rest of the pie. Now, we laugh at that and joke, but think about that. That's what happened to Gideon. God says, I want to go through your forces and take out the men that are not worthy. And when God was done, 300 men were left. Now, this was faith. Gideon had to go by faith now. 300 men against a force of 135,000. This was, when you think about it, it was a humble arrangement for Gideon. On top of all this, these men were not selected because of their experience or their skill in battle. They were selected by the way they drank out of that creek, out of that water. Gideon could have very easily turned around and said, I'm done. I can't do this. But he trusted in the Lord. You know, here's a lesson for us. The Lord is not as interested in large congregations as we are. Now, there's nothing wrong with a large congregation as long as they're doing it the way the Bible has provided. I pray that we grow. But just because there's a large gathering on a Sunday morning does not mean that they're right with God. Remember what Jonathan told his armor bearer before he climbed up to defeat the garrison of the Philistines. He said this, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint in the Lord to save by many or by few. You see, God is not, I guess you'd say, tied in to serving or blessing just those that have many. God can work through anybody. You know, I think we may be surprised when we get to heaven that many cities did not receive the judgment that they deserved, not because of the large churches, but because of the small faithful groups that were holding firm to God's word, and that God blessed them because of that. You know, when you think of this, it was a humble arrangement. 300 men going into battle. Now, real quick, here's the humble plan. God had a plan for Gideon. He was not left out in the dark. God had a plan, and Gideon was to operate this plan. Verses 16 through 18, it says there, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers, said unto them, look on me, do likewise. Behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And then the rest of the passage tells us that they followed that direction and God blessed. You know, he employed a strange, I would even say, seemingly insufficient strategy. You know, any military-minded men today would probably look at this and say, yeah, it wouldn't be something you'd put together and hand forward saying on how to take an enemy force. But that was God's plan. You know, it appeared more like a hoax than a plan. But that's the way God was going to bless. You know, I think it was a humbling strategy for men of war is what it was. You know, when it was all said and done, God would get the credit, not these men. God would be the one who would receive the glory. And you know, Gideon had faith in God, and the Bible tells us he won the victory. What took place? The surprised Midianites became confused and fought each other in darkness. When all was finished, there were only about 15,000 Midianites remaining. I've read some who say, well, that couldn't have happened. Well, it happened in our American Civil War several times, where men became confused and began to fight against each other. It happened in many wars since then, where men became confused and began to go upon each other and began to take each other out. That's what happened here. That's what happened. And God had this plan, and Gideon, by faith, worked this plan, and God received all the glory. You know, this morning, I think the reason why, when you look at the Scriptures, there are so many. You think about it. In the New Testament, as far as the church is concerned, it really is a simple program. If you get into a church that has all kinds of hierarchies and all kinds of things put in place, read the Scriptures. That's not biblical. Those are man-made works and organizations. Be careful of those. The Bible is basic and straightforward as far as the positions, leadership of church. You think about this. God often, not only in Gideon's situation, but even today, I believe works not only through humble men, but humble programs and humble situations so that he receives the glory. You know, the missionary Hudson Taylor went to China. I tell you, God blessed his ministry. He himself often said all he did was go. That's it. God worked. He didn't do nothing special. Later in his life, he was scheduled to speak at a large church in Australia. And before he got up to speak, the moderator who was introducing him gave a lengthy introduction and began to list all these things that Hudson Taylor had accomplished in his ministry there in China as a missionary, and spoke of him in all these glowing terms and large flowery words. Well, anyway, Hudson Taylor, when it was finally his turn to step up, they said he got to the podium and he looked out to the crowd and he said this. He said, "Dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master." You see, the reason why he was blessed in his ministry was he was humble and understood it was God working through him. You see, faith in the case of Gideon was found in a humble program, a humble strategy. But God was the one who worked. You know, in closing this morning, we just took a brief look. I just wanted to give you three thoughts concerning Gideon's faith. Gideon was no different than us today. His faith came at a dark time. That was the circumstance. His faith was a result of humility. This morning, if you're going to have faith in God, you have to humble yourself to God. You got to trust in Him. You got to put your faith in someone. You got to believe in them, trust in them, and have faith that they'll carry out their word. And then finally, his faith was accepted and blessed. God blessed his faith. Gideon was blessed by the Lord. His humble conduct provided evidence of that. You know, when you think of Gideon, he faced a great obstacle. And I imagine he wondered, we know at the very beginning, he wondered how God would bless him. Maybe there's someone here this morning that is like that. You're saved, and there's just a great obstacle that has been put down in your path. Like a mountain in front of your trail that's just been dropped there. And there's an obstacle sitting there. You know what Gideon is? I believe he's not so much an example as much as he is an encouragement for us today. If we doubt, so did he. If we struggle to follow, so did he. But eventually, he put his faith in God. He followed and was blessed. This morning, put your faith in God. I'm reminded of what Jesus himself said in the New Testament. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I pray as we have this time of invitation and this time of prayer, that if you've worked in anybody's heart here this morning, if anyone has been struggling with their faith, I pray today that they'll just look to you, empty themselves of their pride or whatever may be hindering their faith, and just trust in you. Lord, I pray you bless this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for just a few minutes. Just a time of prayer. If God has worked in your heart here this morning and perhaps from the message, and you want to seek Him out in prayer, this is the opportunity to do so. You can come down to these altars and pray here, or you can pray right where you are and seek the Lord out. Maybe there's something in your life that really wasn't even touched upon, but God has been working in your life. This is an opportunity for you to seek the Lord out. You know, faith begins at salvation. We can't live a life of faith without God in our life. And maybe there's someone here this morning, when we were talking about salvation earlier, maybe there's someone here that is unsure of your salvation, or perhaps you know that you have never placed your faith in Christ. If that's the case, I encourage you to get that settled this morning. If you have questions, if you want to know more about salvation, please come forward. Someone can take the Bible and we can show you not only what salvation is from the Scriptures, but how you can know that you're saved this morning. Amen. We're going to close with a word of prayer this morning. It's good to see each one of you.